Good evening and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and in today's show, we'll be talking live to the Living Compassion team in Africa. We'll be talking about conscious, compassionate awareness, and we'll be taking your calls. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be right back. And welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Good evening, Sherry.
Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. A very early morning at that, too.
We're barely able to wish you a good morning.
Yes.
2 a.m.
Not even a sun over the horizon.
Not a speck of sunlight anywhere.
How are you?
I'm good. And yourself?
I'm great. I'm excited to be talking to you all.
Yeah, this is just like old times, huh?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I've been reading the blog religiously.
Very good. And it's coming through all right? You have a sense of our travel adventures?
Oh, yes. The pictures are great. The text is wonderful. You know, I do a refresh on it about every 20 seconds to see if there's a new blog up there.
Aha. Well, before it's over, we'll give you a little picture, if you don't have one, of how that blog works. I'll just tell you right now that the thing about it is our days usually happen such that we wind up at the Savoy Hotel late in the afternoon because... you know, all the rest of the day we're trying to get stuff done, and then we send it to our person in the city in San Francisco, and he goes through it and puts it up. So once it goes up, you can be pretty sure there's not going to be any breaking news for about 24 hours on the blog. And if we can get it up every 24 hours, or even 48, or sometimes 72, we feel quite successful.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That is
it's
fabulous.
It's a tiny bit. Pardon me?
That's fabulous.
Yeah, it's a little challenging, and every year it gets easier.
Uh huh.
You know, when you read the blog and picture us sitting out there at our little sidewalk cafe with wireless access, it's hard, you know, for people to imagine that circumstances are, you know, a little more primitive than they are in the United States. But generally speaking, for instance, what we went through to get this phone hooked up to be able to talk to you here in the middle of the night was kind of epic.
Wow.
We'll blog about it so that you can read all about it.
Okay.
But it's miraculous. I mean, it's completely miraculous that we are able to be doing this. So. We're very pleased, very grateful.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, do you want to tell us a little bit about what you're doing and what you've been up to?
Well, I'll tell you what. Since I have 7 people up in the middle of the night assembled here, I'm actually going to pass the phone over to someone. Yeah, I will tell you that we endeavored to have a speakerphone so that we could all be hearing the conversation.
Yeah,
but we were unsuccessful at that. So what's going to happen is that people are listening to what I say and then taking their cue from what I say, and then I'm going to pass the phone to somebody else, and they're going to talk with you. So I'm going to let people know that what you've asked is just for a little kind of an idea about how things are going here. Yes?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, so something other than what we're going to write about in the blog, which will be challenging because we try to tell you everything in that blog. So I'm just going to pass the phone to the first person who's going to give you a little snapshot of what we're doing here and what our days are like.
Oh, great.
Okay?
Great.
All right, here's Jen. Hey, Michael.
Hi, Jen.
So, being the middle of the night, I have to just go with what's right here in front of me. In order to get here to the telephone, I put on this big pair of pants over my pajamas, And it's a pair of pants that we bought the other day at a local tailor shop.
Yes.
Because we don't have any work pants.
Ah.
And in a couple days, we're headed out to Cantalumba, which is the slum area where we have a food project and a growing community school.
Yes.
And it's the first time since we've been doing our work in Zambia where we're going to get to actually work with folks, like, you know, get in there and get our hands dirty. We're going to help them repaint the school. We're going to help put in a water pipe that will bring a spigot much closer to the actual school. We're going to put up a fence around the school for security.
Yeah.
We're going to bring books into the school. So we're actually going to get to be in there for a couple days and help transform the place.
Yes, that's fabulous. I was reading about
really
it in
fun.
The blog.
You were reading about it. Very good. Yeah, when Sherry said we were going to say things that weren't in the blog, I thought, that's going to be a challenge, especially in the middle of the night.
Yes. So you have all the supplies ready. I got that sense from the blog.
Yep.
And you're going to start painting and putting the water pipe in.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. The meetings, I know we've sent the photos and the text about the meetings that we've had in that schoolhouse in Cantalumba, but
yes.
it's just impossible to communicate how much fun it is to walk into that space and be so incredibly welcomed by the folks who are there. It's such a treat.
It sounds great. I was just imagining, you know, if I had a work meeting and I was welcomed by singing and dancing.
Exactly. In fact, I forget, one of us was saying the other day, imagine if all world meetings, you know, between world leaders began that way.
Yes.
What a different kind of a world we would have.
Yes, yes. That is great. I can't
wait
to see the before and after pictures.
Yeah. Yep. We'll take tons. In fact, I've got my photographer right here next to me.
Oh, good.
Okay. So Sherry's got something, so I'm going to hand the phone back to her, Michael.
Okay, great.
Well, it has occurred to us that rather than telling you what we're doing, which you can read about, it might be more interesting for folks to hear a little bit about what it's like to be here.
Yes.
Just kind of the day-to-day and then the personal experience of being here. So I'm going to ask for somebody to raise their hand who feels ready to speak to that, and then you'll hear another voice in a minute.
Yeah, and then when you're ready to take a break, we have a caller here.
All right. Well, we'll hear from Dave first, and then we'll hear from the caller. How would that be?
Okay, that'd be great.
All right, thanks.
Hey, Michael.
Hi, Dave. How are you doing? Tell me a little bit about what it's like to be there.
Oh, okay. Well, what was coming up for me is this. There's this phenomenon that happens. I noticed it last year, too, where, you know, as we're going around in our days, you know, there's a lot of pain here that we see. A lot of pain.
Yes. Yes.
Everywhere we go, there's people who are looking for our help and in need. And what's interesting to me is that it's possible. It's not even that it's possible. It's almost like it's inevitable to interact with that pain. It's hard to describe. It's like I was expecting when I came here that I would have feelings like this is horrible. There's something wrong. Like a feeling of nausea or something in response to what we've seen here, but it really isn't the case at all. You know, it's true that there's the pain. There's also like the physical manifestation of the kind of the disorder here. There's the trash that's everywhere. There's the people who are obviously out of work. There's the little there's the children on the streets who don't have anything to eat. And then at the same time, there's a sense of coming from the people. I project a sense of acceptance, or everything's okay, or something like that, and it's very easy to take that on. It feels like to me to take that on as sort of the response to what's here. So it gives me an unusual feeling of kind of a sympathy and sort of responding to the pain that's here, and yet without an attitude of mind that says that there's something wrong and this shouldn't be happening and that sort of thing.
Yes. Yes. So before you came over, there was an expectation that it would almost be unbearable, I project, to be in this environment. And yet,
it would be something that would be that I wouldn't want. You know, it would be too difficult to handle.
Yes.
What I find instead is just a great amount of gratitude and appreciation for my own life, and also a sense of the fragility of my life, or another way to say it is how fortunate we are. I think all of us in a group, probably almost everyone listening to the radio show, in just the moment by moment receiving that we're doing.
Yeah.
Just how lucky we are in what we have, and that I think is a gift that a big gift from being here that I wouldn't have been able to receive otherwise.
The gratitude of receiving the life that you have.
Yeah, exactly, and appreciating what is so easy to take for granted. For example, this morning I walked outside and I was by myself for a little while outside, and a man came up to me and he. You know, his hand was swollen. He had fallen or something, and it hurt his hand and couldn't work, and now didn't have any money because he didn't work. And it's just hard not to experience someone like that without at the same time looking through one's own life and seeing the many, just how, on one hand, how many blessings there are, and on the other hand, just how fragile the whole thing is, and how very little it takes to have things go in a way that feel comfortable and feel okay, and how very little it would take also to have things go the other way.
Yeah.
And just experiencing how many blessings there are in my own life that I often, I think, without some kind of comparison like that, take for granted.
Yes. Yes. Definitely. What's coming to mind for me is, you know, being in kindergarten and just holding hands as we go together through this.
Uh-huh, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I feel, inspired by the ability, I can only project from what I see, but the ability, it seems like, of people here to accept the way life is, despite the incredible hardship that many of them are working under.
Uh-huh.
But to accept it and to smile and to be friendly and generous to us and really to accept us in our place here also. It's quite inspiring the courage people have in the face of what they're up against.
Yes. It sounds extraordinary from what I've heard from you and from what I'm reading on the blog also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's quite an amazing experience to have.
Yes.
So I'm going to pass you back to Sherry now.
Okay, great.
It's nice to hear your voice, Michael.
Yours too. Thank you, Dave.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
So I understand we have a caller.
I'd like to welcome Beth from Pittsburgh. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hi. I'm calling from Pittsburgh all the way to Africa.
It's
exciting.
Kind of hard to grasp, isn't it?
It really is, just the interconnectedness of it all. I liked what Michael was saying about holding hands, like in kindergarten, to get from where you're going, kind of helping each other along. And it's, it's like here in Pittsburgh, kind of working toward kind of supporting what you're doing there.
Uh-huh.
That's not coming out clear or real, but strong, but what's coming up in listening to this is just the interconnectedness of seeing the suffering, not taking it personally, projecting everything on it, owning the projections about the suffering, and kind of at the beginning of your video, you talked about the karma. Like, don't come here to help, but come here to work out your own karma.
Yes.
So it's like the opportunity that you're giving us here is to work out our own karma.
Yes. That's such a powerful point that I think we were, it's yesterday, I'll tell you, days just kind of run together here in the most unusual way. We've all had the experience, we've all tried to articulate it, we are completely incapable, but we'll get to the end of the day and somebody will say this morning and it's like, what happened this morning? It's an African time-space warp that's very... it's fascinating. It's relaxing. It's it's slightly disorienting. And I gave one of my prefaces there
like a
that I get so involved in the preface that I forget what the point is that I was making, which is not at all a part of being in Africa, because I do that, as you know, all the time, everywhere. So anyway, we were walking down the street talking about how life here is really, the content of it is very different from the content of our lives at home, which is not to say that the content isn't very similar to a lot of people's lives at home.
I project it's pretty monastic.
Pardon me?
I project it's pretty monastic as far as the simplicity of it.
Yes. You know, if we were in certain places in the United States, we could see tremendous poverty and need and lack of of material opportunity and that sort of thing. And so on that, you know, just on that level of just kind of people going along living their lives, it's not very different anywhere around the world. You know, they have people that they care about. They have their children. They want to eat. They want a place to live. They want to accomplish something. They want to belong to a community. You know, there's just so much that is exactly the same with human beings all over the world. And it's easy in a place like this to look at the sort of the content of it and the physical appearance of it and not see the similarities or the interconnectedness. But then once we're here actually living with people, it becomes clear how alike we are. And so in that way, kind of what Dave was pointing at with being inspired, that, you know, it's not like we're looking at these people thinking, oh, you're so different from us, and your life is so different from ours. It's really very much the same. And then there is whatever is perceived as the next thing that's needed. And for one person, it might be something as basic as food. And for another person, it might be some health need or a loss that they've experienced. So, you know, and then again, once we get past the surface of it, just seeing the oneness.
Yeah, it really puts kind of, like, I get caught in my story about what's going on and what it all means and how it's happened before. And it's kind of like by allowing this story of hearing what you're going through in Africa, it kind of reminds me that it's just a story.
Yes. And you know, that's one of the things that maybe other people will speak to this, but I have watched here that there isn't a story. Now, I don't know what it's like.
Story.
We have this wonderful young woman who works here in the guest house where we're staying. And we gave her a couple of nights ago a copy of The Key, and she liked it, and she wanted to meditate with us. So this morning, she came in and meditated with us, and then we gave her a copy of There's Nothing Wrong With You, because we want to talk to her about what is that, what we're talking about in the book, what is that like in Zambian culture? You know, what is that like for you? Does that go on? Do you hear those voices? That sort of thing. But for me, the most striking thing that happens when I'm here is that there is no story. You know, there's no story period about anything. Our lives out there are so far away that they're just kind of vague memory. And there's nothing going on here to make any kind of story about. You know, not even
Wow.
Okay, well, the closest we can come is, okay, well, today is Wednesday, so what we're going to get, try is the operative word there. What we're going to try to get done is this, this, and this. But you know, at home, how you have this whole past and future and, you know, where you are in it, and it just doesn't exist here because it just doesn't.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, well,
thank you, Sherry.
Go ahead.
No, things are good. Things are good.
Okay. All right. Okay. There's this little funny kind of a delay, so I can't actually tell if you're getting ready to start a sentence. But.
Right. I'm just intensely grateful for the work you're doing and to be able to participate in the small way that I can.
Yeah. Yeah. All of us together.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth.
Okay. Bye, Sherry.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us, Beth. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber with the Living Compassion team live from Africa. Sherry, would you like to hand the phone to someone else? And we also caller coming up later.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll hear from Alex, and then we'll hear from another caller.
Okay, great.
Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Alex. How are you?
Good, very well, thank you.
Great.
I'm just very excited to be here. I was in Africa a couple times now, I'm dovetailing on what Davis said, and it's my experience again that it's the indomitable experience of the people that is moving me while I'm here in Africa.
Uh-huh.
That despite all the things that are going on for them physically and emotionally and everything like that, that they are spiritually a very powerful, powerful people.
Yes.
Yeah, that they, that despite everything, you know, we go into a village, and I know that most of them have not eaten. We go into a school. We went to Masala this morning, and again, they greeted us with songs and dancing, exuberant dancing, actually. So much so that it's amazing to think that they have not eaten. Most of the students don't eat, and I know for myself, you know, in 2 or 3 hours, I'm like, oh, wow. My stomach's grumbling. I need a Cliff Bar or something like that.
Yes.
And these people, they just seem to be just radiating it. And I just am always, always awestruck by that. And the kindness that I've always experienced while being here, too, that everyone, as I pass by, you just smile, and there's an immediate warm smile that just appears, and a greeting, and it's lots of handshaking and sharing. Yeah, it's just a wonderful experience here. That's what constantly keeps coming up for me whenever I visit here, that despite everything that's on the outside, it's the inside that is just so, so powerfully strong, and that I receive from that.
So what you project is a very spiritually strong people.
Yeah, that's very good. Yeah, I project a very strong spiritual people.
In spite of the circumstances that they're in.
Yeah, despite everything. Yeah.
Wow. Well, I look forward to hearing more about Masala Primary.
Yeah, Masala was very exciting today. We got a tour again, and there were lots of pictures. I think there was 367 just in my camera. I can't account for what's on on our other photographer's camera. I imagine a similar quantity.
Wow.
Yeah, we went from classroom to classroom. So many beautiful children. Yeah, we're having an incredible presentation for everybody when we come back.
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah.
And how's the project with the toilet building?
There was talk. We split up into several groups while we were at Masala this morning, and I was in the group that was taking photographs, and and going through classroom to classroom, and there's another group going from classroom to classroom doing other sorts of projects, and there was a big meeting this morning about projects that are going on in Masala, and I would hate to give away what's coming up in the blog in just a short while, so keeping people on their toes.
Yes, yes.
But
ready to read the blog.
Exactly, yes, yes.
Yes. I was telling Sherry that I click refresh about every 2 minutes to see if there's a new blog up there.
Yeah, very exciting. I imagine that would be so on the other side of the continent there.
Yes.
The side of the world, too.
Yes. Well, it's great to hear your perspective, Alex.
Hey, thank you so much, Michael.
Yeah.
I'll pass you off to Sherry again.
Okay, great.
So we have a caller.
Yes, Sherry, we're going to take a quick break first, a short break, and
okay.
Then we're going to take our caller right when we're back.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Coming up next on Open Air in our second segment of today's show, we'll be continuing our live show from Africa with the Living Compassion team and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber, live from Africa with the Living Compassion team. Sherry, we have another caller.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Gokul from Sunnyvale. You're on Open Air with Sherry.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Good evening.
Hi, good evening.
Or good morning, as it...
Oh, yeah, good morning to you guys. I was... reading through the blogs, and you guys are doing a great, great job in Adola. And the one thing I wanted to know is, are we doing anything to improve the employment opportunities? I noticed that there is mention of one tailor, but is there, like, plans to start a cooperative?
Well, we're definitely working on that. You know, that's the thing that we say hourly. The thing that is going to make the biggest difference for these people is employment. Until that changes, nothing is going to happen. I mean, we can, yes, education is critical. Absolutely, it's critical. And the health issues, water, the dealing with garbage. You know, this is an entire city that has had absolutely no ability to deal with garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And the Japanese government apparently has just donated to them 4 garbage trucks. So for the first time, they're going to be able to create a landfill and be able to get the garbage out of the city. And we've actually had a fantasy here of getting the funding to create a citywide, and we would start with just our little compound, but a garbage collection program where people would have bags and they would go around and collect all the garbage they could and bring it to a central place and be paid for it, kind of like the... you know, refund on the pop bottles, which would generate immediate income for people and also clean up the environment. But you're right. That's just it. It's the thing that would make the most difference. So, you know, just on our little basis, we are getting the sewing cooperative going. In fact, we have one tailor, Martin, who's now the, our head man, and he has 5 other tailors who are working with him, and then he's agreed to teach the people in Cantalomba, the compound that we're working in, to also sew and do knitting and crocheting and those kinds of things. But, you know, that's just such a small scale. What these people need is some kind of manufacturing plant. They need industry here, the kind of industry that has closed down, you know, with the mines closing and the textile factories closing, and that's just thrown, you know, countless numbers of people out of work. And that's the big issue. So if you have any large manufacturing needs, Ndola, Zambia would be a great place to build your plant.
Okay. And also I had a question about the water pipes. I was wondering if you guys were purchasing all the pipes or getting, like, local, people to make pipes, or, you know, if it's anything, something that...
Right. Right, that would be a great thing to do. And you know, before that, I was just saying, as we were sitting around talking during the break, we have been, the water here is polluted. Okay, it just is. It's just contaminated. Some people have the wherewithal to boil the water and put some chlorine in it, and that's one situation. The other people simply drink contaminated water, and that's just how it is.
Mm-hmm.
But the two places where we work, the compound where Masala Primary is, and then Cantalomba, we were just talking about the possibility of doing a specific fundraising. It would cost between $15,000 and $20,000 U.S. dollars to put in what they call a borehole, which is a, we would call it a well.
Mm-hmm.
They call a well something else. But
right.
To put a borehole in that would provide clean water for the community. Now, of course, once you get it above ground, you have contaminated pipes, and you have no ability to store the water. You know, people are storing it in contaminated containers. And, you know, so there's a whole process of replacing the pipes, which, you know, as you point out, what a great business for somebody to start to create the pipes for that project. So, you know, stages of things that,
correct.
You know,
yeah.
here's the best way to look at it. Everything needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely everything that you can think of that human beings need needs to be done here. There's not a single structure in place. We learned today that I think these statistics are fairly good. In this one area, there are 50 community schools, 58 community schools, 10 high schools, okay, in this one area. And they get from the government, these are all supported by the government, $3,000 a year to operate.
Wow.
I mean, you know, it's just what they're up against is horrific. Which makes, you know, what Alex and Dave have been pointing at. There are no words for it, that people continue to be courageous, continue to get up every day and make it work in whatever way they can make it work is just, I mean, inspiring doesn't come close to being in that kind of attitude of mind.
Okay.
Whatever anybody can think of to do. One of the I guess it was the mayor who was the one or the district commissioner who said you know we want to help people in any way who want to help us. What do the people of Zambia need? Everything.
I just had one more comment on the water issue.
Uh-huh.
If the water table, I don't know what the ground level, the water table is there, but if it is not too low, I've seen people in India use pressure pumps at different locations. Hello?
Yes. Yeah. I think what you're describing, they call a well.
Oh, okay.
A hand dug. They hand dig wells that are 100 feet deep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
They, you know, we said, now, yes, it's a guy down in that hole with a bucket and somebody up on top hauling the dirt out. It's just, it's incomprehensible. But that's what a lot of people do, and the water that they're getting, of course, is contaminated. So,
good luck with all your projects over there.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And if you think of some great industry for us all to start over here, we'll be with you. we'll help you in every way we can.
Thanks a lot. You guys have keep doing the great work you guys are doing.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Gokul. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber live from Africa. Sherry, I'm counting on my fingers, and I think there are some other retreatants there.
I have one in the wings right now. I have Marianne sitting here.
Okay, great. Hi, Marianne.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm perfect. I'm great. And I thought, actually, since this is my first time to Zambia, I might give you a little different perspective than the other callers who've been here several times.
Oh, good.
And I have to say that the first probably week or 10 days was actually fairly overwhelming, emotionally, sensory-wise, everything.
Uh-huh.
Just landing in Africa, being in Zambia, the drive from Lusaka to Ndola, and
yes,
looking at all the little side, they had little peddlers and vendors along the road and the people on their bicycles. Some of it was sort of stereotypical pictures that you see in books, but then there are actually people who are selling, you know, tomatoes and bags of charcoal and those things along the road, which is just amazing.
Yeah.
And then we got to Ndola, and I think like the second day we went to Cantaloupe, and we were greeted by all the people in the church in the little school building, and they're very poor people, you know, and it was just kind of emotionally overwhelming.
Yes.
Thinking, boy, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be able to deal with this very well. And so we had that meeting, and then we went to Masala and saw that school, and there's just, you know, there's poverty, and there's kind of ugly things to see, but there's also this beauty. There's the beauty of the land, and there's the beauty of the people, and they take such pride in their culture, and so you get this sort of juxtaposition of being kind of overwhelmed and being overwhelmed by joy and sadness.
Yes.
But as everyone has said up to this point, as you get to know the people, that kind of sadness is taken over maybe more by just knowing that they're people, and there is a great commonality. And I think one of the greatest things we did for me to kind of really see that is last Sunday we went and played frisbee and stuff in the park, you know, and we played with kids, and kids are just kids.
Yeah.
You know, it was great. And we had another meeting at Cantaloupe, I guess, on Saturday. And my experience of being there that time was very different. You know,
uh-huh.
I got to know the people, and I don't know, I guess the poverty and the bad things that are visually there weren't as apparent as kind of the people in their lives and kind of their joy. And the same thing happened at Masala today when we went. I was in the classroom doing some work with some students, and it was a very different experience than the first time when I got to the school and just saw kind of the shabby conditions.
Uh-huh.
So, so it's cool that we're here this long. You know,
yes.
Because I think if, you know, if it was just a week or 10 days, I don't know, I'd be leaving here with maybe a very different feeling about the whole experience.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
We've been here long enough to kind of turn the corner. I mean, it's hard. I mean, like right now we're watching mosquito fly around, wondering whether it's going to land on us or not. You know, and you
yes.
can't really drink the water, and there's garbage everywhere. But it's a wonderful experience.
Yeah.
It really is a wonderful experience.
It sounds like it.
So I just sort of wanted to give a a perspective of someone who hasn't been here before and has not, you know, took a little while to acclimate to everything.
Yeah.
You know, the physical surroundings and the mosquito and everything. So anyway, that's all I had to say, so I hand you back to Sherry.
Well, thank you so much.
Okay. It's you know, the our relationship with mosquitoes is extraordinary.
Uh-huh.
You know, always before, mosquitoes were an annoyance, you know, and to have a relationship with something like that that's life threatening, is, you know, just kind of walk around with eyes in the corners of the rooms, you know, is there one? And, of course, we're fortunate to be taking medication. So if we get bitten, the chances are that we won't get malaria.
Yeah.
And, of course, for the people here, malaria is just a fact of life. And as most people listening probably know, actually kills more people than HIV/AIDS.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a powerful place. I bet people are getting that, huh? It's a powerful place.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't have a caller, Michael, I have another retreatant lined up here.
Oh, great. I would love to talk to another retreatant.
All right. Here's Tracy. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Tracy. How are you?
It's amazing that we can actually do this.
Yeah.
Wow. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. As I'm sitting here, one of the things that kind of came up for me is this whole thing. Sherry said something, you know, about the content being, you know, there's so many similarities, and what just kind of popped into my mind was while we were in the meeting talking to the community of Cantalamba about, you know, kind of what some of their needs were. The woman, her name is Teresa, she's Ignatius's sister, is kind of the head of the food program.
Yes.
And the community was requesting a little area to cook in and, you know, kind of some, you know, pots to cook in. And it was kind of an interesting thing because, so basically we were talking about a little kitchen area, and, of course, my whole mind went to, wow, you know, they need a stove. And, you know, then it dawned on me, actually, I think I said something to someone else, like, well, what about a stove? And, well, there's no electricity there. You know, we ended up going for a walk, and I said to Teresa, you know, how does this work? Like, how do you cook for 100 children? And she went on to tell me that, you know, her morning starts really early at the market, and she takes a minibus with all of, you know, her supplies to the bottom of this hill.
Yes.
And this hill is in a little town called I can't pronounce it. Lumputo. And it's on the other side of Cantalamba, and there's a dirt road that was actually constructed in this hillside by a group of women. And there's a picture on our website, and Teresa has a group of volunteers meet her at the bottom of this hill, and they carry all the groceries up to a little house close to the school area.
Uh-huh.
And how they actually heat everything up is by charcoal. And it just, you know, heating, it just takes a little while to kind of get things going.
Yes.
And so it made me realize that, you know, so much of what, like, it's so difficult to even start projecting about their process because it's so unfamiliar what it actually takes, you know, to cook, you know, mealy meal or cook porridge, you know, for 100 children. Like, we really don't have any experience of that.
Yes.
So one of the things that we're going to do, I believe Thursday morning, is a couple of us are going to kind of follow her around for the day and really see what the process is, you know, behind one of these programs that we're supporting.
Right.
So.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
So you can get a better sense of exactly what's going on.
And I guess the other thing that just popped into my mind is when we were at the school this morning, there were a group of women that we met that are part of the, they call it a back-to-back program.
Uh-huh.
And these women are not, I guess, didn't complete much school, And so they come to school and they teach the girls in school like knitting and crocheting. In return, the kids in the school teach them like education.
Oh, great.
And what, yeah, it's really a cool thing. There's about 30 women in the program, and you know, even what it takes for this, you know, for these women to get to that school, and also like get the supplies to bring. Like one woman had been trained in Lusaka, and they had promised her, you know, some supplies after she finished school, and of course there were no supplies available, which I think happens a lot. And so, you know, they take whatever they can make for the kids at school to market and sell it and, you know, come up with a little bit of money to, you know, buy some more yarn. And but just, yeah, the fortitude and the, to get up each day and to, like, go through the process of what they go through, you know, to learn or to, you know, to make things happen is pretty amazing.
Yes, yes. I was talking to Sherry earlier, and she said beyond inspiring.
That is way beyond inspiring.
Yes.
It actually is. I know for me it's definitely dissolved a lot of, I guess there's just an incredible softness of heart that comes up for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like this wow, you know.
Yes.
It's very humbling, I think is the best word.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I'm so glad to be able to hear from you today.
Yeah, thanks, Michael.
Yeah.
And I will pass you back on to Sherry.
Okay, great.
Do we have a caller or do we have another member of our team here?
We have another member of our team.
All right, we have Rebecca.
Okay, great.
Hello, Michael. It's Rebecca.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, I'm in Zambia.
I was guessing that. I saw your picture.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, on the web, so there's sort of evidence of it.
I know, I made it into one photo.
Tell me about your experience.
This is really, really amazing. It's really incredible to be here. I wake up every day just kind of, well, first of all, I wake up saying I'm in Zambia every day. I can't believe it, so even though I've been here for, you know, a while.
Yes.
And I feel really privileged to be here.
Yes.
It feels really, it's such a neat opportunity. For one thing, just to be here, but also to be here with Living Compassion and to be doing this the way that we're doing it, it's just, I'm just amazed by it. It feels like this doesn't happen often, that people get to be in a place that's so far, that's, you know, 24 hours on an airplane.
Yeah.
And to be here doing it this way with practice and bringing such awareness to everything. I mean, every decision that's made, everything that we do, it's, you know, it revolves around practice and doing it in a way that's, you know, it's a really big privilege to be here in this way with the people I'm here with.
Yes.
And the practice to just weave through it all.
Yes.
I'm impressed by it.
Yes, I get that impression. And what's coming up for me as you're talking is my experience of practice is finding what's most compassionate to all.
Yes.
And it sounds like you're having that experience.
Yeah, definitely. The days Sherry talked about are so long. Right now, yesterday, I guess, or this morning, I'm not sure. I can't believe when we mentioned something from the morning that was actually the same week.
Yes.
Living Compassion is just cool. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I was thinking earlier today that if I ever go to Africa, this is the group of people I want to go with.
yes, this is the group of people you do want to go with.
Yep.
I mean, there's no, I can't believe that. I keep coming back to privilege, but it's such a privilege to be here, and I wake up every morning, and throughout my day, I feel that so intensely.
Yeah.
No matter what we're doing or what experience, it's just, you know, life is, for one thing, you know, life is just so short, and there's so much need in this world, and it's you know, it's time for everyone to just roll up their sleeves and get in.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so it feels like that in a big way here.
Yes.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
So it's good. Zamri is awesome.
Great.
I'm gonna pass you back to Sherry.
Great. Thank you, Rebecca.
That was our photographer. You knew that, huh?
Yeah, I did know that. I can't wait to see her photos.
Oh, yes. And you've got it that we're talking thousands, right?
Yeah, well, I got a sense from Alex.
Yeah, there's just no end to gorgeous children.
Yeah.
Gorgeous people, beautiful sights. It's I think it's kind of a photographer's dream.
Wow.
So
wow.
Okay, so no callers, but one we have another retreatant here.
Yeah, that's what my notes say too.
All right, here's Therese.
Great.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, Therese. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well, thanks.
Great. It seems like I see you in every photo.
Oh, that's great.
Playing soccer and frisbee.
We're getting to the end here, but the last plug that I just wanted to make sort of was, you know, I concur with everyone who's spoken so far, but what I have noticed the most is the women and their willingness and their courage to make a difference and to really step forward and say that they are ready. You know, they're the ones rolling up their sleeves.
Yeah.
And it honestly just, there's so many times that I just think, you know, that I feel like I've walked through my life kind of going, oh, women, you know, the hardships that I have as a white woman. And I think, oh my gosh, being here, you know, the word humbling has come up so many times and, you know, but actually being here with the women in Zambia, I am proud to be a woman now. And I feel like the support that they have given me is unbelievable.
Uh-huh.
And there's a woman who has been on the blog, Josephine, and you'll hear lots and lots about her.
Yes.
But she's just this incredible woman of strength and of courage. And the fact that they built this road in Cantalomba, and I mean, it's just, to me, it's been staggering. To see how much willingness and courage they have in, you know, in the situation that you've been hearing about.
Yes, yes. So you've been really inspired by the women.
Yeah, I mean, that word keeps coming up, and yet it doesn't even feel like it can encompass how, you know, the experience of just, you know, shaking someone's hand or looking into their eyes and seeing, you know, the everything that they face, and yet they just keep saying yes. And,
uh-huh.
And that's actually, that was a conversation that we had about just saying yes. You know, there's so much here, and where do you start? And you just start with yes. And that's what the women here, you know, over and over keep teaching me, and I think keep teaching all of us, is just say yes.
Just say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Yeah, and it sounds like...
You can do it.
What's that?
Oh, we have this little thing, you can do it.
Oh, you can do it.
Which, yeah, and unfortunately it came up in a situation where we really needed to use the restroom, and it wasn't really a restful room to use the restroom, and so we just kept encouraging one another, you can do it.
Uh-huh.
And we entered that place, and we did it, some of us, actually, not all of us. So.
Yeah.
Yes. So thank you, and I will now pass the phone back to Sherry.
Great. Thank you, Therese.
Take care.
Take care.
A team we have here, huh?
You have a fabulous team there, Sherry.
Yes. Now, I know we're getting down to the wire here, so can we just do one quick commercial announcement for the Bridge Walk?
Yeah, we have about
September
1 minute left.
All right, September 23rd. Everybody who can, I hope, will join in with the Bridge Walk and make it such a smashing success that perhaps we can, one of the things that we can do is create two boreholes to at least bring some fresh water to people, and that would make just an unbelievable difference in more lives than we can even count. So
yes.
I hope everybody, as we were encouraged to do, will roll up their sleeves and do what we can to make the difference that we can make.
Yes. And all the information
and Michael,
is at livingcompassion.org.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And thank you for being there, making the difference of creating this opportunity for us to talk to everybody from all the way from here to there.
Oh, it's a great privilege, Sherry. Thank you
all
so
right.
much.
Thank you. Talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to talking with you next week. Good night.